Greetings and welcome to Bee's Table Talk, the podcast in which we have great conversations about business and our economy. Because we can, we've migrated from podcast into a webinar format, and we're getting to know businesses from across the community. My name is Bee Kyle, President and CEO of the St. Paul Area Chamber of Commerce, and it is my delight to be with you today. We're going to be putting together a series of conversations, given our current status as dealing with the COVID-19 pandemic and the subsequent seizure of the economy. We're going to be talking to several business leaders from a wide spectrum of sectors to get a sense for what's ahead and have some real thought-provoking conversation. So to that end, today I'd like to welcome my guest. He's a friend and a SPAC board member, talented executive in the financial services arena. Mike Houseworth is a division manager and senior VP at U.S. Bank with over 28 years of experience in the financial services industry. And as you might imagine, has been front and center regarding the Paycheck Protection Program and some of the COVID-19 relief programs. So Mike comes to us by way of the University of Kansas, proud family man, and thanks for sitting down with me, Mike.
Yeah, hi, Bee. Very glad to be here. Appreciate it.
So I have to pause. I'm always fascinated on how people get here. How is it that you got here from the University of Kansas?
Well, UK is actually my graduate degree. So I actually grew up in northern Wisconsin, got my undergraduate degree a long time ago at Wisconsin La Crosse.
Okay, all right, that makes
Wisconsin,
sense.
Where I met my lovely wife of 29 years now. And then in my prior life with GMEC Automotive, I attended and got my graduate degree at Kansas University. So joined the U.S. Bank in December of 2001. And have been with this commercial lending group that I lead out of St. Paul for, this is my 14th year doing that now. So
I got introduced to you just under 3 years ago, and I moved over to the St. Paul Area Chamber of Commerce. And somehow I thought that you were new in your job. So clearly it was just me who was new in my job. You'd been in St. Paul for a while.
Right. Pretty much correct. For the first 11 years with this team, I was more on the credit side. So I headed up all of the credit and underwriting and reporting and processing for all of U.S. Bank's Twin Cities commercial banking divisions here in the Twin Cities. And then about 3 years ago, I switched over to the division manager role of the St. Paul team. So switched over from more of the credit side to the relationship, you know, with existing clients and then prospecting and trying to build new relationships. And it's been a refreshing change, to be candid. So
I bet. And you are well skilled for the external relationship building. You've been amazing to work with and get to know over these last 3 years. I'm grateful for the work we've gotten to do together.
Yep. Likewise, Bee.
So the purpose of this series of podcasts, webinars, really is just to get to know the business community, put faces to the names, and find out a little bit about what you're working on. And certainly we can do that in the context of our COVID-19. I mean, just yesterday, the governor provided the next level of guidance related to reopening the economy. Today's May 21st. So on the 20th, he announced the phase two of four planned phases of reopening relative to June 1st. And restaurants reopening at some capacity and personal care organizations. So I'm interested in, as large as U.S. Bank is, how have you been experiencing COVID-19? What's been the impact been for you as an organization?
Yeah, it's you know, I'm going to try to answer it from two fronts, Bee. And I guess one front would be kind of the client impact and experience and how we're trying to manage through that. And then the second piece would be, you know, the 70,000 plus U.S. Bank employees and how we're trying to manage our new way of life as well. So really from the clients, you know, first we've got the business clients, right? And you already alluded to it that, you know, the PPP program has been huge. As everybody knows, you know, it's allowed, you know, small businesses to keep employees on staff for longer periods of time that otherwise would not have been able to. To date, we have underwritten or processed over 79,000 loans, totaling over $7 billion. And that's an average loan size of about $80,000. So, you know, we started by processing digitally, like many larger banks who use digital platforms for the SBA lending program, we ran into problems because of volume and trying to build scale. So at the same time, we also were doing it manually and have done both. And so we were probably a little bit behind the curve compared to the community banks, which did a fabulous job out of the gate in support of the PPP. But once we caught up and implemented both the manual process and built up the platform for the digital platform, you know, we've exploded and we're still doing PPP loans, maybe not as many as we were, say, 2 or 3 weeks ago, but we're very proud of that fact. And then, you know, other business support we have, you know, we've been deferring payments, you know, for existing loans as necessary. And, you know, when it comes to the treasury expenses in terms of writing checks and processing money, you know, we've been giving discounts or even, you know, providing those things at no cost, you know, especially to the, you know, to the very small businesses and even to the restaurants of the world, right? That have been, you know, more impact than maybe say than others. So that's kind of the business front for businesses. On the client side, you know, and I'm looking at my notes, as of now, you know, we've provided several $1 million in the form of mortgage assistance, auto loan assistance, whether that's deferrals or interest only periods of time. We've got a couple of loan platforms where we are providing, you know, interest rates that I would say are significantly below market during this time to help people as well. So, you know, very proud of those two fronts. You know, switching over to the employee impact, you know, as of now, about 80% of U.S. bank employees are working from home. You know, we do have essential services that we have to, where we have to have people, you know, work from the office, and that can be, you know, the branch employees, operations personnel, and then critical service locations. And so for those people, you know, we've got the social distancing in place. You know, we provided the, you know, personal protective equipment in the form of masks. You know, we've got glass partitions in place in the lobbies for the branches that are open. So, you know, very conscientious of those things. And the last piece on the employees, you know, for those employees that have to work, you know, on site, we did increase their wages by 20%, their hourly wage during this time in support of that. And there's, you know, and there's other things that we've done in terms of more flexibility, working from home with your kids there by your side, right? Kind of a new age for all of us. So, so very
proud of pros and cons on that one. What are, you know, you're a monster company. You are so invested in the community, and given the kind of work you do in the banking space, you get to see people on a more personal level than do most. What are some of your observations about what the real impact is on the street? I mean, really, for the companies, the people behind the companies, how are you observing some of that?
You know, it really varies, B. And so my group, the team that I lead, we're more in the middle market space, right? And so middle market for U.S. Bank means companies with annual revenues from 20 million to 500 million per year that we do business with and have partnerships with. So, so that being said, you know, we've had a lot of clients that have actually done well because they've been in the essential service category. You know, maybe they're in the grocery space, maybe they're in the medical space. We've had some clients that, you know, maybe in a certain industry, but have been able to shuffle or and create face shields, right? Or start creating masks and gowns, right? So they're able to adjust. So, so some have done very well. Some that are tied, you know, to the restaurant industry, whether it's direct or indirect, as you can imagine, that they're feeling it in a much more, you know, impactful and negative way, right? So it's kind of been all over the place. I would say that, you know, if you go into our business banking world, it's going to be that much more probably challenging, right, for these smaller and smaller businesses that just, you know, where they don't have the long-term or the resources and maybe the liquidity that the larger businesses have, right, to hang on during this unprecedented time. So it's kind of been all over the map.
You know, I'm a closet economist, and I regularly follow U.S. Bank's economists and Wells Fargo's, because you have some amazing talent on your economics team. What are you getting from your corporate input relative to projections about the economic environment for the next 12 months? What are you hearing?
You know, great question. And I say that because I think it changes by the day. I think it started off where I think we're hoping this was going to be a really fast thing, right? To several weeks, so we just shut down and then everything opens up. But then as the reality of this pandemic has started to show itself, that a lot of this, how we deal with it and how we social distance and those impacts. I mean, it's, to me, it's progressing. It's unfolding. And I think right now the consensus is that, we're in the middle of probably the biggest, quickest recession in our lives. I think the optimist in some of us hopes that by the third quarter, we start going back the other way. But at the same time, there's some impacts here that I think all of us are just starting to realize and then figure out, right? The brick and mortar space, for example, what's going to happen to that in the long run, right?
When I think about what you said about there are some companies who are doing really well, it takes me back to things I read about during the Great Depression, which, if you remember, because none of us were alive then, that Woolworth took off and wound up being a part of the Dow, right? And they really grew because what they offered was, 40-cent lipstick when you can't afford anything else, the small joys of life. And they really, really grew during the hard times because they were counter-cyclical in nature. And I'm thinking about in this weird, absolute seizure of the economy, I think you hit it right on the head when you mentioned grocery and healthcare and online. If people can morph to doing different bodies of work and different modes of connecting with clients, they're seeing a huge growth. I do a lot of online shopping. Half the stuff I want is out of stock. Those of us who are at home trying to figure out what to do are spending more time online. And so it's an interesting change how some seem to be doing better and others are suffering to the point of losing their business altogether. One of the things that I find fascinating, and I have really appreciated the rhythm of this language, speaking to now is an opportunity to not speak to returning to normal, but to reimagine what a better recovery might look like, a better future. If you were to reimagine something as we grow through recovery, because to my mind, the recovery is based on consumer confidence more than anything else. My observation is that businesses are smart. Business leaders are smart in terms of preparing, but it all comes down to the consumer's confidence. So when you reimagine a future that engages the consumer and creates a better vision for what we can be, what does that look like to you?
So, like you said, I think the first thing is how do we get our confidence back, right, B? And it's going to be confident that we have this COVID-19 under control, and whether that means that we have, a vaccination, whether we have, the tracing element of it, antibodies, so if you get it, you can take something that can manage it successfully. I think that's obviously a big piece of this whole puzzle. But, I think once we get there, the few things that I think about is, you think about the digital age, right? And that technology and, speaking for the banking industry, this race has been ongoing for several years, right? To provide easier and better and more efficient platforms to our banking clients. And I think that's only going to accelerate. I think it's going to cross over, I think traditionally, at least for the business to business to or bank to clients you know, the larger businesses, we've traditionally had, you know, certain platforms, and now these platforms are going to become, you know, not just where you get on your computer and sign into a system, but you'll have your phone, you know, so a lot more mobile capability tied into that. It's only going to accelerate all these plans so that, you know, the chamber gets an invoice from somebody and needs to pay it. You can hit one button and everything gets taken care of, right? And there's a race to do things like that, and it's only going to get accelerated. Yeah. You know, as we talked about, is what, you know, when you think about, you know, what's the business landscape going to look like down the road, right? I mean, there's these are unprecedented times. You know, 10, 11 years ago, we had an economic contraction. You know, this is a purposeful economic shutdown. Right.
Yeah.
And we have no idea yet what the full impacts are going to be. So, you know, we already touched on the brick and mortar landscape. What is that going to look like going forward? We've already seen, you know, how many larger retailers have already entered a bankruptcy, and I think some are choosing to liquidate. So, you know, those are the two things that pop into my mind when I think about the future is the whole landscape. And then, you know, and how this has pushed us more quickly into the digital, you know, age, if you will.
I certainly am experiencing that at the chamber, for sure. I know, given that you're on the board, you know, we've been talking long length about how to move into the future. It's upon us more quickly than we ever could have imagined. You know, and on that note, another thing that's captivated me when I read it was about, if you remember in the early 80s, the Tylenol scare, and how well Johnson, Procter & Gamble, Johnson & Johnson responded to that, pulling it off the shelves, addressing with very intentionally, very purposefully. And that was used when I was subsequently in college as an example of how to handle a crisis the right way. And the outcome of that messaging that has stuck with me has been how you handle a crisis is the most important message in terms of building up consumer confidence to move forward again. I give the governor a lot of credit right now in terms of how he's speaking into this crisis. But I also know that, U.S. Bank is doing some amazing things in service to the community. And I know it's not Minnesota's nature to, you know, overstate what we're doing, but I'm asking you if you would be willing to share a few things that U.S. Bank is doing, because I have to pull it out of you to hear it.
Well, yeah, we've done a few things. You know, we've committed millions and millions of dollars, you know, from our funds in support of relief and I have to look at my notes a little bit because I scripted for relief and recovery grants to our communities. We've created an employee virtual volunteer program, right? So we're trying to do it and provide support on a virtual basis, right? And so. And we've actually doubled the amount of the bank match for the employee giving cause to, you know, to further support and hopefully entice our employees to, you know, to keep supporting these causes that we already have. So, you know, the amount of volunteer hours that we put in and have put in and will continue to put in are, you know, It's you know, just for the Twin Cities, it's in the thousands and thousands every year. So, you know, those are a few of the immediate things that we're doing. You know, talked about it earlier, just trying to provide the support to our clients, right? Whether it's B or Mike on an individual basis, to provide relief for the mortgage payments and the car loan payments, or to the businesses, right? Helping them process the PPP loans and giving them deferrals and you know, and other, you know, things to just help reduce, you know, the stress of cash flow during this unprecedented time. So, you know, so very proud of that. You know, I would add, and I'm gonna switch over a little bit right now, B, to one thing that I wanted to talk about was, you know, why I'm so proud to be, you know, on the St. Paul Area Chamber of Commerce board. This is my third year, but it's kind of tying to the things that we're trying to do during this time and that we have been doing. And one of the things that I thought about during this time in the board, it's, you know, the board, the chamber consists of 1,200 members, right? And I've come to really respect and appreciate the way that you and your team working with the board as well, how the chamber looks at things from a practical and business point of view, you know, looking at the issues and making decisions, providing support for things that are in the best interest of St. Paul and the East Metro. But at the same time, weaving in the element of equity and economic inclusion, right? And that's been near and dear to me from the day that I joined, and I've seen that, and it's energetic. And I say that because, you know, U.S. Bank, we've been embarking upon the same journey for years and years as well, right? And we have the same words. It's diversity, equity, economic inclusion. Those are the things that we talk about as well. We measure it. We're transparent about it. We're focused on it. And, you know, it's not only the right thing to do, but economically, just speaking for U.S. Bank, it's in our best interest. It's in everybody's best interest to bring everybody together for, you know, during this journey. So I just want to commend you and everybody for that, because it's something that's very engaging. And then the second piece, be it, and I know I babble about this all the time, is just being part of this workforce committee that you know, I joined in 2018. Then in April of last year, we had our first Career Pathways Day at St. Paul College. We had kids from seniors from St. Paul Johnson there. We had, you know, local businesses, and it was a day to network and learn about advanced manufacturing. And lo and behold, you know, now it'll be in October of 2020 instead of April, but now we have this, you know, St. Paul Career Connect Day in the works, and that's, you know, a partnership now with the Chamber, you know, Junior Achievement, the Boys and Girls Club, and the St. Paul School District. And we're going to have, what, over 300 Highland High School sophomores coming to spend a day learning, you know, engaging with, you know, multiple businesses, educational institutions, and you know, those are the things that are energetic for me. And in that sense, I feel like the bank and the chamber are very much aligned, you know, because at the end of the day, you know, we're supporting our businesses, clients, but at the same time, we're all trying to reach into all parts of the community, right? So that we can all, you know, be a part of this together. So I wanted to share that because it's very, very, very important to the bank and obviously to the chamber.
Oh, I really, really appreciate that. You know, as we're, you know, I'm not a lifetime chamber person, so wanting to continue to explore what that value proposition is for chambers of commerce to organizations like yours that are national in size. For all intents and purposes, you do not need an organization like ours. And yet what you're telling me is that indeed you do, as if nothing else, as an expression of your own strategic priorities and a vehicle through which you can exercise them, right?
Right.
I always get to be informed from executives like you about how to think about the work of membership organizations like ours who can pull together these priorities. I like how you spoke to the idea of equity and inclusion as not only the right thing, but really the smart thing from a business perspective, that there's at the double whammy. Appreciate that.
Yeah, it is. And if you look at the demographic, you know, profile of today's, you know, United States or Minnesota or the Twin Cities, and you look at the future, I mean, there's such an obvious business case to be made that you know, in many ways, you know, we need to continue to strive to be more aligned culturally with the communities that we serve. And I feel like we're doing that, you know, both the Chamber and U.S. Bank at the same time and trying to drive down that path. So very proud and exciting to be a part of that. So,
well, clearly you were a frustrated investor when you were sitting behind a desk doing credit. Frustrated investor in the community. I mean, you're such a great partner and such a great advocate. I love how you, the energy that you exude and how you contribute so with such humility. You're such an amazing human being as well as talented professional, Mike. It's such a delight to get to work with you. So thanks.
Well, thank you. Thank you. But
I know you're blushing. It's kind of funny.
I tell everybody it's how wonderful and fabulous that the chamber and you are to work with. And you know, and when I say that, it's not, you know, just to say it, it's because it's true. And you know, I take a lot of what I hear, what you provide, you and the chamber provide, and I get to share it with my team. I get to share it with my clients, and there's a lot of value add, right, that comes from that, and not to mention the networking that it's provided me, you know, and through that, mm-hmm. my team, you know, as we go plot ahead and try to, you know, build new relationships and strengthen the ones that we have. So all these things that, you know, that also come with being part of the board has been very, very helpful and fulfilling. So.
Fabulous. Well, Mike, I just can't tell you how much I enjoyed chatting with you. Thanks for taking time out of what is a very busy season, I know, for you. But I just wanted to say thank you for all that you're doing and all that U.S. Bank is doing on behalf of this region and this state. So thank you again for joining me.
Of course. Thank you, Bea. I appreciate it.
And for the rest of you, thanks for joining Bea's Table Talk. We'll be having a few more conversations like Bea's, where we get an opportunity for a moment inside the world of an executive of a company that plays a big part in our regional and state economy. So stay tuned for next time and have a great afternoon.